Today's daf is Shabbos daf Chavav. We left off on daf Chav Hey Amud Beis. We are at Tan Rabbanan Eza Ashir. So today's share has many sponsors, so bear with me over here. It is sponsored, first of all, anonymously, Luz Chisur for Shlema Bekarov, to our good friend Mordechai David Ben Norid Hensha, together with all Chalei Yisrael. It's sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. It's sponsored by Jerry Gross in honor of a friend and a Chashva Rav who's in the ICU desperately battling the COVID-19 virus. And in the Zchus of the Dav Shir, Harav Aryeh Zev Ben Edel and Kol Chalei Am Yisrael should be Zocha to Refuah Shleima Bekarov Mamish. It is also sponsored by Jeremy Lussman in memory of his grandfather, Jacob Lussman's yard site, Yaakov Eliezer Ben Yosef, also by Shui Alter, Li'ili Nishmas, his wife's grandfather, Meir Ben Yosef yard site, whose yard site was Monday, and by Shui's grandfather's yard site, Yitzchak Binyamin Ben Moshe, Alav Shalom, whose yard site is today. And it was also sponsored by Ron Markovitz, Lizachus Rafua Shalema, for Yosef David Ben Yeta Miriam, father of a good friend of his. So all of we thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship, and Shvi Gavaldiko Zuchus for all of the people that it is targeted for, amongst the rest of Klal Yisrael. So again, we're holding Atan Rabbanan Eza Ashir. So first, the Gemara is going to discuss four definitions of what is considered, of who is considered an Ashir, who is considered to be wealthy. And then the Gemara is going to talk about why it is that we don't use Tsari as the oil for Hadlakas Neros Shabbos. And once we're talking about that, the Gemara is going to tell us two stories related to this type of oil, this Tsari type of oil. The Gemara is going to then talk about oil that is Tevel Tamei, and whether one is allowed to use Tevel Tamei for Neros Shabbos, Then we're going to have further discussion in the Brisa about which oils may and may not be used. More elaboration on that and more shitos as to what oils may or may not be used for Neros Shabbos. Then at the end of Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to bring two other dinim relating to Kalayotze Min Ha'Eitz. We mentioned in the context of Neros Shabbos, Kalayotze Min Ha'Eitz, that which is produced by Eitz, whether it could be used for Neros Shabbos. So we're going to talk about other halachas of Yotze Min Ha'Eitz, namely the halacha of Tumas Begadim. Can a beged that's made from a material that's Yotze Min Ha'Eitz become Tame? And as far as kashrus for schach, can it be used for schach as on sukkahs? And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to, once we're talking about the tumah of begadim, as far as yotze min ha'etz is concerned, the Gemara is going to discuss the sources for the idea that a beged made out of tzemer upishtan, that is, even if it's just 3x3 etzba'os, which is a very tiny beged, is eligible to become tameh with tumas negaim, with tumas tzara'a. But other begadim made out of other materials, even if much larger, even if 3x3 tfachim, which is obviously much, much larger, are not able to become tameh with tumas negaim. So that's going to be the last discussion, Bez Hashem, on today's daf. So let's begin. Tan Rabbanan Chafei Amud Beis, says the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan Eze Ashir, Koshli Yesho Nachas Ruach Ba'asho Divra Meira. Meir Shita is that the definition of an Ashir is anyone who has Nachas Ruach Ba'ashro, someone who enjoys his wealth. That is the definition of Ashirus. Now the Gemara oddly at this point gives the simin matkas. The simin over here is a simin for the shitos in Tanaim, the four names of the shitos of Tanaim who define Ashirus, and the mem relates to Meir, Rabbi Meir. It's Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Tavron, Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Yossi. So it's a little bit odd that we mention the simin after the first one before the next three, but no, that's what the Gemara does. So the second shita, Rabbi Tarfon Omer, what is an Ashir? Kol Shieshlo Mea Kramim Umea Sados Umea Avadim Shavdim Ben. It sounds like he gives a very specific number, meaning how do you define Ashirus? Like he did in an analysis, and it's if you have exactly this amount in your bank account, and that's the definition of Ashirus. It sounds like it's not attitudinal at all. The Gra in his Chidushim explains that Kramim is Merames Ta'agados. Sados is a Remes Ta'halachos, and Avadim is a Remes Ta'brachos. And what it's saying is that if a person is a Baki in Agados and Halachos, and he says 100 Brachos B'chol Yom, then such a person is considered an Ashir, that it can't possibly be about a specific number of fields and slaves and vineyards that a person has to have. Rabbi Akiva Omer Kol She'esh Lo Isha Na B'masim, that the definition of Ashirus is a man who has a wife who's a balas midos tovos. If she has wonderful midos and does good things, so that's the definition of Ashirus. Rabbi Yossi Omer Kol She'esh Lo Beis HaKisei Samach L'Shulchano. Anyone who has a Beis HaKisei near the table that he eats at, so he won't have to wait too long to use the facilities after eating. That is the definition of Ashirus, or maybe before eating, because the Gemara is going to say later on in Daf Mem Aleph that using the facilities before eating is something that's very healthy. And then after eating again, we had such a notion, the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Ches said that a person should always be davening, they should have a Beis HaKisei Samach L'Shulchano, the Matzah, that a person should there are certain tefillos that require like an immediate response, and that's one of those tefillos is to have a Beis HaKisei nearby. So those are the four definitions of Ashirus. Says the Gemara Vayta, Tani Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Ema Likin B'Tzari, that you're not allowed to light Neru Shabbos with Tzari, which is the sraf that comes out from the Kataf tree. It's the sap that comes from the Kataf tree. So my time, why can't you use Tzari? Amar Rabba Mitoch Sharecho Nodev, Kizera Shemistapik Mimenu. It has a very pleasant fragrance, and therefore you're going to smell it as it's like a scented candle. You're going to smell it as it's lighting, and you might want to take some of the oil out of the candle, and that's going to be a violation of mechabe on Shabbos. That's why you're not allowed to use it. So Amle Abayis. Abayis says to Rabba, Lema Mar Mepeshu Off. Why don't you say a different reason that it's going to jumps as the candle lights, and therefore it could burn down your house. It could attach, the flame could attach itself to the walls of your house and burn down the house. So that's why you shouldn't be allowed to use it, because it could burn down your house, and a person is Baal on Lamono, he's going to certainly try to extinguish the flame and it'll violate the Malach of Mechabed that way. So why do you have to say it's because of the fragrance that you're going to take oil out of the candle? Just say that it's dangerous, and because of, not that it's dangerous, you'll escape the house, but that you're in danger of violating Mechabed by trying to put out a fire if it's going to burn down your house. So Tosos understands it that way, that it's a violation that you're going to come to be Mechabed. But Tosos says, why doesn't Abaye ask that we should ask it even on a weekday on account of this? Right? That you're not allowed to light even on a weekday. So Tosa Rosh suggests that Sari is not as off as Neif Lavan is. It doesn't jump as much, and therefore on a weekday we're not so choshesh. It's only on Shabbos that we're choshesh because of the additional chashash kibui. The Rashba says that really the kasha of Abaye is, why does Rava say that the reason of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is that you're not allowed to light Bitsari because Shemi Yestapek, in which case the Isser would only be on Shabbos, because the Isser of removing oil from the Ner is only on Shabbos. That's the Gemara's Kasha. The Gemara's Kasha is, say better, say that it's Asr because it's going to burn the house on fire, and that would be Asr even on Chol. That should be Asr even on a weekday, that it's not only Asr on Shabbos. Rashi says, of Yashin Nidbak Bekosle Abayis Umadlikas Abayis, Nimukhe Yosef understands from the fact that he doesn't then add, and then you'll be Mechabe it, that maybe Rashi means that Abaye's kasha is that even on a weekday it should be asr. Some of the rishonim suggest that no, the truth is on a weekday it may be dangerous also, but we're not going to asr it on account of that. That you'll have to use your common sense to figure out not to do dangerous things on a weekday. But we're going to asr something that will look like a mitzvah and will lead to something dangerous. There's no greater chilul Hashem than when a person does a mitzvah and then it leads to danger on account of the mitzvah. So that's why we would, even if it's about danger, even if it's about sakana, that's why we would dafka asr it on Shabbos, because that's a terrible chilul Hashem. That's what we point out by Chanukah every year, that you always hear stories on Hanukkah about people abandoning their candles, leaving the candles lit alone, and then burning down someone's house. So even if you're not worried about your life, even if you're not worried about your money, and you're not worried about your neighbor's lives, and you're not worried about anything else, the Chilul Hashem Shabbos is enormous. That such a Chilul Hashem, that a person is trying to do a mitzvah Hashem, and the mitzvah Hashem is going to lead to destruction, that it's going to lead to something dangerous, that would be a terrible result of an attempt to do a mitzvah. So that's how some of the Rishonim point out over here as well. That's what Mipnei Shu'af is, maybe an Inyan Dafka in Shabbos, that in your attempt to celebrate Shabbos, in your attempt to light Neros L'Kavod Shabbos, that it's going to lead to a Sakana. That would be very, very terrible. If, Nogea L'Inyanenu, to our time, if people were to in an attempt to do a mitzvah of davening B'tzibur, of serving Hashem, they're going to cause people to become ill, and they're going to cause people to become Chas v'Shalom, worse than ill. So that's an enormous Chilul Hashem. So says the Gemara, Chadava od ka'ama. Really, Rabbi's trying to add an additional reason. Chada mipnei shu af. That first reason why you're not allowed to use the tsari is because it's af. It could light your house on fire. Va'od gzeira shemi yistapik menu. And on top of that, there's also the gzeira shemi yistapik menu. And the Rashba explains, based on the way he understood the kasha v'abaye, that he's saying that the reason of af would make it asr even on a weekday. And then not only that, on Shabbos there's a second reason for it to be Aser, but the Rashba understands that it's Aser on a weekday as well. So the Ritva comments, why does he have to add another reason that it's Aser to light it on Shabbos, once it's already Aser to light it on a weekday anyway? If you're not allowed to use this tzari, so why would you then have to say, oh, and by the way, there's a second reason that only applies to Shabbos? If you have this one inclusive reason that includes weekdays also, why would you have to say a second reason relating to Shabbos? So the Ritva points out that that it could be that if you mix in some other shemen, that will calm it down, and it's not going to be dangerous, and it's not going to light your house on fire, but the aroma will still be there, the fragrance will still be there. So that would be the nafkamina. The second reason would apply, that you might remove some of the oil for the fragrance, but the first reason about it being off, about it potentially lighting one's house on fire, would not apply. So once we talk about this tsari oil, the Gemara tells us a story about this oil. Hayicha masa davasanya lekalsa. There was a mother-in-law that couldn't stand her daughter-in-law. She very much disliked her daughter-in-law. This is one of the relationships that Chazal assume leads to, lends itself to natural animosity. A mother-in-law, daughter-in-law relationship, the Achronim explain that the mother raises her son and is moser nefesh to take care of her son, and then he gets married and gives all of his love to somebody else. So it's a very difficult thing for a woman to take, to see. As much as she's excited about marrying her child off, that sometimes is short-lived when she sees that his loyalties are go elsewhere, as they should. So there was this mother-in-law that couldn't stand her daughter-in-law. So Amrala, so the mother-in-law told the daughter-in-law, Zili kashet b'mishcha da parsima. Why don't you put on some tsari oil, which is this very flammable oil. So Azavikshit, good daughter-in-law, she listened to what the mother-in-law said. Here, I got you this perfume, why don't you try it? So she tries this perfume, rubs it all over herself. So Kiasis Amrala, so when the daughter-in-law came wearing this perfume, so the mother-in-law said, Zil Itli Shraga, why don't you go light the candles? So Azav Itli Shraga, she went and she put the candles in place, and obviously wearing this very flammable oil, Infa Banura Va'achalta, she became consumed by the fire. The mother-in-law had lit the daughter-in-law on fire without having to do it directly. So that's the story. The Gemara does not add anything beyond that. That's the story. So the point of the story over here is not about mother-in-laws and daughters-in-law, although some of the poskim do use it in shuvas about that kind of thing. If a daughter-in-law doesn't want to live in the same chatzar as the mother-in-law, poskim discuss, does she have a right to demand from her husband that we live in a different community, that we live in a different place, that we shouldn't be so close? So they use this maisa as that maybe it's not such a bad idea to live a little bit further away if the relationship is maybe not so perfect. I just read a story of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that in honor of his yahrzeit recently, I think I forgot where I saw it, but there was a maisa there of an older bacher who was looking for a shidduch, and he was having a hard time finding a shidduch because he was insisting that any girl he goes out with would agree in advance that they're going to live together with his mother. She was an elderly almana, and they have to take care of of her, and he couldn't leave his mother. He didn't want to abandon her. She was an elderly almana. So a lot of the other family members went to Rav Shlomo Zalman, and they said, you got to speak to this boy. He's never going to get married if this is what he insists on. And Rav Shlomo Zalman surprisingly said to them, no, he's looking for a balas chesed. So he'll find a balas chesed if he insists that they help take care of his elderly almana mother. And sure enough, a little while later, the boy actually got engaged, and Rav Shlomo Zalman called him up to wish him a mazel tov, and he said, mazel tov in your engagement. Now you need to figure out who's going to take care of your mother, because you're not bringing your new wife in to live with your mother. And he said, but Rebbe, you're the one that said that I'm allowed to insist on it. He said, you were looking for a balas chesed. You want to guarantee that it's a balas chesed? Someone who's willing to do that is a balas chesed. But you can't actually do that. You can't bring a new kala in to live with the mother-in-law. So Rav Shlomo Zalman made sure that he came up with alternate arrangements for his mother. Okay, says Gemara Vayter. Omidalus ha'aretz hishun v'zradin rab tabachim l'karmim l'yogvim. When we're describing the Chorban Bayis Rishon and the Golus Nevuzradan, so we're saying some Jewish people, Nevuzradan, left behind in Eretz Yisrael because there were no non-Jews to do these jobs. What were these jobs? They were Karmim and Yogvim. So what are these? Karmim, Tani Rav Yosef, Elu Melaktei Aparsimon, Me'in Gedi Vad Ramasa. These are the people that collect the Aparsimon oil from Ein Gedi until Ramasa. Yogvim, Elu Tzayadei Chilazon. These are the people who trap the Chilazon that they get the Tcheles from, Misulam Shel Tzur Viad Chaifa, from Sulam Shel Tzur until Chaifa, which is the place where the Chilazon is apparently found. So the Lechora, that is not the Pashtus of the Pasuk. Karmim are people who pick grapes, and Yogvim are people who squeeze the grapes and make wine. So the reason Chazal understand it differently, the Chasam Sofer points out, is because you don't need Jews to do those jobs. Anyone can do those jobs. But Dafka, we have to find jobs that apparently were required some tradition in terms of how to produce these materials. Certainly when it comes to catching chilazon, it was not easy. Chilazon is a snail that burrows into the sand at the bottom of the sea. To be able to get it and to keep it alive and draw out the dye that you need and then expose it to sunlight at the proper time and be able to dye it with the proper blue, it's not an easy thing. And that's why, as Jews were not around that area, that's when it became lost. It is a major discussion exactly when the ability to die with chilazon became lost, when in history, but it seems to be around the times of the Gaonim, and it relates to Arab conquests in the area where Jews were not able to continue the industry, and if we weren't able to continue our Mesorah and how to die, so that's where we lost the ability to dye these materials. So anyway, so that's a second anecdote about this type of oil, that the Dafka Jews were left behind by Nevuzradan in order to find this oil. Tanu Rabbanan, Ein Madlikin B'Tevel Tamei. If we discussed using Truma Tameo, we discussed the idea that a Shemen Sreifa, now we're going to talk about Tevel Tamei. You never were mafresh Truma Samei, so it's Tevel and it's Tamei. You're not allowed to use it B'chol, Vein Tzorech Lom B'Shabbos, certainly you're not allowed to use it on Shabbos. Keyotze Bo Ein Madlikin B'Neift Lovan B'chol, Vein Tzorech Lom B'Shabbos. You're not allowed to use Neift Lovan even on a weekday, and certainly not on Shabbos. So Bishlam Neift Lovan B'Neish off. I understand Neflov, and it's dangerous. It's going to light your house on fire. That's why you can't even use it on a weekday. Avol Tevel Tamei my timer. But why can't you use Tevel Tamei? So Amar Kra, so the Pasuk says when it comes to giving Truma to Kohanim, we discussed yesterday, Va'ani hine nesati l'cha es mishmeres trumosai, in plural. B'shtei trumos hakasa medaber. Achas Truma Tahora, v'achas Truma Tameya. That both Truma Tahora goes to a Kohen. The Kohen can eat the Truma Tahora, but even Truma Tameya goes to a Kohen so that he can benefit from lighting it on fire and using it as firewood. So Ma Truma Tahora in l'chaba el mishas harama ve'elach, just like when you give Truma Tahora to a Kohen, he only gets the benefit that he's supposed to get from it once you've already taken the Truma, but not while it's still Tevel. So af Truma Tameya, so to the Hana that he's going to get from Truma Tameya, from lighting it, the Hana that he's going to get from using it as fuel for a fire, in l'chaba el mishas harama ve'elach. That benefit only happens after it's no longer tevel, after you've already been mafreshit as truma. But while it's still tevel, it's asur b'hanah even for a kohen, and therefore you're not allowed to use shemen tevel tamei because it is in fact asur b'hanah. And Rashi writes, and therefore kal v'chomer, you're not allowed to use tevel tahar, because if tevel tamei is asur b'hanah, tevel tahar is for sure asur b'hanah, and Tosos writes the same. However, Tosos points out that the whole makar for the idea is that tevel tahar is asur is once we learn that tevel tamei is asur b'hadlaka because of the comparison to truma tamei to truma tahora, so we make a further hekish between tevel tahar and tevel tamei, that just like tevel tamei ein lecha bo heter anah until you the shas harama, until you actually take the truma, so tevel tahar also there's only a heter anah shel kiloi me harama ve'elach after you already do the harama. So therefore Tosos wonders why Rashi calls it a kal v'chomer. It's not a kal v'chomer, it's a limud of one from the other, but it's not a kal v'chomer. It's that if we have this limud that tevel tamei you're not allowed to use, then of course tevel tor you're not allowed to use either, but not based on a kal v'chomer. It happens to be that a number of Rishonim, the Rashba, Tosa Rush, disagree. They hold that it's dafka tevel tamei, that the truma that you separate from it, it can only be used for hana'a of using it for firewood. It's dafka such tevel that we darshin that it's only meharama ve'elach. But tevel tahar, once you're mafresh truma from it, the truma is omedes la'achila, so there is no isser while it's tevel to get hana'a from it. The isser is only ba'achila. Ba'hana'a, it's going to be mutter. So that even for Yisrael, let alone for a Kohen. So that's the sheet of the Rashba and Tosos Rush against Rashi and Tosos. Against Rashi and Tosos, who say that if this is true of Tevel Tameh, then for sure it's true of Tevel Tahar. The Rashba wonders that if the Yisra of Adaka B'Tevel Tameh is because that it's Asr Ba'anah, so there's no reason to Asr lighting it for Ner Shabbos more than a weekday, meaning if it's Asr Ba'anah, it's Asr Ba'anah on a weekday also. So why do we say Vein Zorak Lomer B'Shabbos? That it's Vaday Asr on Shabbos. Of course, Asr, the Yisra is no different on Shabbos than it is on a weekday. So the Anug Yom Tov in Simen Nun, he explains that what we're trying to say is that if you light it, for Ner Shel Shabbos, aside from violating the Yisra of getting Hanah from Tevel, you're not even Yotzei V'chiv of Adakas Ner Shabbos, because it's a mitzvah Abba B'Aveira. That's what we mean Vein Tzarech Lomer B'Shabbos, that it's Asr to do, and because it's Asr to do, it's not even going to be a mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. Says Gmar Vayti, now Gufa, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Ema Likin B'Tzari, going back to the discussion of using Tzari oil, you're not allowed to use Tzari. V'chein Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Tzari einu el esraf me'atzei ktaf. The tzari is the sap from the ktaf tree, meaning it's not shemen that comes from a pri, it's the sap that comes from a tree. Rabbi Shmuel amar kol yotzei min eitz ein madligim bo. Anything that's a product of the eitz, you can't use. Rabbi Shmuel ben Baruch Omer, ein madligim el biyotzei min apri. You're only allowed to use that with the shemen that comes from the pri, but not shemen dagim or something that doesn't come from a plant at all. Rabbi Tafron Omer, ein madligim el b'shemen zayis bilvad. That you're only allowed to use shemen zayis, no other oils whatsoever. So Amad Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri al Raglav Omer, ma yasu anshei bavel shein lahem el shemen shum shemin. If you're only allowed to use shemen zayis alone, so what should anshei bavel do? They only have sesame oil. And what should the Anshei Madai do? They only have Egos oil. And what should the Anshei Alexandria do? They only have Tznon oil, radish oil. They don't have Shemen Zayis, and they don't have the other Shmanim that come from other perils, like Shum Shemin and Egozim. El Neift, all they have is Neift, and they're not, what, all these people shouldn't light candles on Shabbos? Whatever the Chum say in the Mishnah, you're not allowed to light with, that's what you're not allowed to light with, but other oils you are allowed to light with, and you're allowed to light with Shemen Dagim, even though it's similar to Chelev, which you're not allowed to light with, and it doesn't come from a pri, ubi itran, and you're allowed to light with itran, even though it comes from zephes, which is pasul hadlaka. So it has to be, we have to be more permissive, we have to be more expansive in what we're willing to allow to light with. Some of the achronim use this gemara as a raya against shitas Rashi. Rashi writes back on Daf Chafam and Beis that even those oils like that you're not allowed to use, like shava, you're you're not allowed to use if you put it in a kli and you use it like a regular ner. But if you wrap it around a wick, says Rashi, that's different. Then you're allowed to light with it. This appears in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Reish Samach Dalet that you're only allowed to light with a shemen that's nimshach achar psila, and therefore you're not allowed to use lo bezefes, v'lo b'shava, v'lo b'shemen asa mitzemer gefen, v'lo ba'alya, v'lo b'chelev. And then the Shulchan Aruch writes a few se'ifim later that if you take zefes or shava or chelev and you wrap it around a wick, then you're allowed to light with it. So that's Shitas Rashi. So now goes to the Mishkanos Yaakov on the tour. He asks on Rashi from our sugya that Rabbi Tarfon says that Ein Maldikin El B'Shem Zayis Pelvadin. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Uri says, Ribono Shalom, how could that possibly be true? What about all these people that only have these other kinds of oils? What are they possibly going to do? So why not say, says the Mishkanos Yaakov, that you can still use them. You just have to wrap them around the wick. You have to congeal them and wrap them around the wick rather than just put them into a kli. So it wouldn't be the end of the world. So that's a kasha that he deals with. Rav Shlomo Zalman in Shulchan Shlomo is a little bit bothered. He says mitzad haseichel, he doesn't understand why it should make a difference whether the wax is like a liquid or it's a solid that turns into a liquid when you light it on fire. Okay, so anyway, says in Gemara Vayta now the brisa rather Rav Shimon Shazuri Omer madikim b'shem pakulos uvneif that you're allowed to use shem pakulos and neft, but not other oils. Sumchus amar kaliyotim in basar, anything that comes from basar, like chaylev, ain maldikim bo, el b'shem dagim, except for the shemen of dagim, even though it's yotim in basar. Dagim is considered basar as far as this is concerned. Sumchus hainu tanakama. So ask the Gemara, aren't sumchus and the tanakama, Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, saying the same thing, that they say that the shemanim that you're not allowed to light with are the ones that are mentioned in the Mishnah explicitly. And it mentions chalifs, Rabbi Yochanan asrus hadaka with that which is yotzim in abasar, and is matir with shemen dagim, just like the Mishnah said according to the Chum. So what's sumchus adding? So ikabenayu derav brona amirav. The nafkamina between them is what if you mix in chalif mevushal together with shemen dagim? If you mix in with the chalif mevushal or with the shemen dagim, you mix in some shemen kosher. Can you then light with it? So that's going to be the machlokas. So that one of these Tanaim holds like Rabbi Brona as far as Chelev, and he disagrees as far as Shemen Dagim, and the other Tana holds like Rabbi Brona as far as Shemen Dagim and disagrees as far as Chelev, Velo Masaimi, but it's unclear which one holds which. Okay, so once we mention the sheet of Rabbi Yishmael, that anything that's Yotzim in a eight is Ein Madlikin Bo, so now the Gemara goes off onto a side discussion of Yotzim in a eight, other halachos relating to Yotzim in the eights. In order to understand the discussion, it's important to realize that we're going to talk about two things. We're going to talk about schach, and we're going to talk about tumas begadim, a beged becoming tame. But we should realize that a beged becoming tame means two different things. Sometimes a beged becomes tame with tumas nigaim, with tsaras. It just becomes tsaras can strike a human being, tsaras can strike a house, and tsaras can strike begadim. And sometimes it just becomes tame but tumas maga, that it touches a sheretz, it touches something that is metameit. So those are, and the gedarim of when a beged becomes tame with one type of tumah versus the other are not the same. So normally for a woven beged to become tame, it needs to be the size of 3x3 etzba'os. So Tanya, Rabbi Shimon, Elazar Omer, kalayotim in a eitz ein bo mishum shalosh al shalosh, anything that's a product of eitz is not subject to the shear of 3x3 etzba'os. Umisachinbo, and also anything that's an eitz product, you're allowed to use for schach as long as you didn't turn it into a kli that is mekabel tuma chutz mi pishtan, except for a pishtan that even though it's eitz, if you make a woven material out of it that has a shear to be mekabel tuma of 3x3, if you make a woven material out of it, the shear for it to be mekabel tuma is 3x3 etzbaos. And you're not allowed to use it for schach, even if you didn't make a kli or a beged out of it. So Amar Abaye, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, v'tana de Rabbi Shmuel, amru davar echad. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is aligned with the Tana de Rabbi Shmuel. Why? Because Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar had the Amran. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, we just said that anything that's yotzim in eight is not mekabel tuma with shalosh al shalosh, and Abaye assumes that he means that it's not mekabel tuma at all, even if it's a much larger beged than shalosh al shalosh. And when Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says kol yotzim in eitz. It's lav dafka. It's all other begadim as well, like notza shalizim and anything else. Because according to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, the reason the yotze min eitz is not makabel tumas begadim is because it's not defined as a beged unless it's tzemer upishtan. So it's not about the fact that it's yotze min eitz. It's about the fact that it's not tzemer upishtan. That begadim tumas begadim is only for something made out of wool or linen. And Tanna de Rabbi Shmuel Mahi, where do we find that Tanna de Rabbi Shmuel holds the same thing? The Tanna de Rabbi Shmuel holds the number begadim b'Torah stam. Since the Torah uses the term begadim without explaining what type of min it constitutes a beged in many places, and then in one place, when it comes to Tumas Nagayim, the Torah gets specific. Tzemer upishtim, and it tells us that tzemer upishtim is a beged. The pasuk says that beged ki yevo neged tzaras bebeged tzemer or bebeged pishtim. So it starts out by just saying beged, and then it gets very specific. So that's what we call a klal uprat. And the rule is ein bechlal elamasha beprat, that beged means, beged is defined when it comes to Tumas Nagayim as tzemer upishtim. So we dash in mal alan tzemer upishtim afkal tzemer upishtim, that just like when it comes to Tumas Nagayim, it's only if the beged is made out of tzemer upishtim. So to any time the word beged appears in the Torah, it's only tzemer upishtim. That is the Tana de Beit Rabbi Shmuel. We mentioned the other day, you have a similar machlokas in Menachos and Daf Lamed Tes, that Rava asks Sestira, that on the one hand you have a pasuk that says haknaf min knaf, that you can use strings of any material to match any beged, and on the other hand it says tzemer upishtim. So haketzad tzemer upishtim potim bein b'minon bein shelo b'minon. Rava says in Menachos Lamed Tes that tzemer upishtim strings can pater any beged from the mitzvah of tzitzis, can be used for the mitzvah of tzitzis on a beged made out of anything. But if you have a cotton strings, it's only going to work for a cotton beged. Whereas Rav Nachman says, like the Tana de Beit Rabbi Shmuel, that no, it says begadim in the Torah stam, pir lecha akas bechem and tzemer upishtim, af kol tzemer upishtim, that only tzemer upishtim is in fact chayiv in tzitzis at all on a daraisa level. So whereas Rava holds that every beged is chayiv on a daraisa level, it's just a question of what kind of strings you're allowed to use for that beged, that tzemer upishtim strings will work for any beged, but the cotton strings will only work for a cotton beged. When the Tanna de Rabbi Shmuel holds that only a beged of tzemer upishtim is going to be chayiv in tzitzis on a daraisa level. This is machlokas rishonim. The rov rishonim hold that non tzemer upishtim are chayiv in tzitzis on a daraisa level, but the shitas harambam and the shitas harif is that only tzemer upishtim is chayiv on a daraisa level. And that's why the Beis Yosef, true to form, he writes in his haktama, I don't care what the majority of opinions are. I'm only interested in the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rush, and what the majority among those three are. And that's why the Mechaber Paskins, that only a beged tzemer upishtim is chayiv in tzitzis on a daraisa level. But the Rama disagrees, because the Rama takes into account the sheet of the majority of Rishonim. So over here, when it comes to Tumas Negayim, there's no doubt. It's not even a machlokas. When it comes to Tumas Negayim, by a negat sara'as, it's only going to be a beged of tzemer upishtim. So Rava disagrees with Abaye, and he explains the sheet of Rav Shimon Elazar differently. Rava Amar Shlosha al Shlosha Bishar Begadim. When it comes to other begadim that are not tzemer upishtim, the shear is going to be shlosha al shlosha. That's not the same as shalosh al shalosh. Shalosh al shalosh means 3x3 etzba'os. Shlosha al shlosha means 3x3 tfachim, a much larger beged. Ikebenai, that's going to be the difference between Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and the Tana de Beit Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar islay, Tana de Beit Rabbi Shmuel leslay. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, he holds that that other begadim will also become tame, but only with a much larger shear. Not shalosh al shalosh etzba'os, but 3x3 tfachim. And Tana de Beit Rabbi Shmuel will hold that no, other begadim do not become tame, only tzemer upishtim become tame, even if it's a much larger shear. So now the Gemara is going to start getting into the source that a beged of tzemer upishtim that's 3x3 etzba'os, a very tiny beged, can become tameh b'negayim, but other begadim made of other materials, even if it's more than 3x3 tfachim, don't have tumas negayim. Meaning when Rava says that it's a machlokas, whether a larger beged of other materials materials can become tameh, he's talking about if it touches a sheretz. But tumas negayim is what we're about to discuss. The kuli almamias, everyone seems to agree, shalosh al shalosh b'semer upishtim mitameh b'negayim, that a 3x3 etzba'os beged of semer upishtim can become tameh with tumas negayim. Minalan, how do I know that that's true? So detanya, we have a brisa that tells us as follows. Beged, the pasuk says by tzara'as, he uses the term beged, ainli ala beged shalosh al shalosh minayin. I would only know that it's a full beged. How do I know that even something tiny, 3x3 etzba'os, and that's the width of your thumb, it's a very tiny beged. So ainli ala beged shalosh al shalosh minayin, tamalomar, viha beged. The extra two letters, the vav and the hey, viha beged. Ve'ema l'rabo shalosh al shalosh, maybe viha beged comes to tell me that if it's 3x3 tfachim, even though it's not a full beged, it could become tamei b'negayim. How do I know that even something so tiny that's 3x3 etzba'os, says Mar Lav Kal V'chomer Hu, hashta shesiva erev mitame, if even just a weaving of a shesiva erev, which is enough to be mitame b'negayim, so shlosh al shlosh mibayi, so you need to tell me that if you have a woven cloth that's 3x3 tfachim, that it becomes tame, of course it's going to become tame. That's a Kal V'chomer. So what is the viha beged coming to teach me? If I already have a Kal V'chomer tell me that 3x3 tefach beged becomes tameh b'negayim, so then what's the viha beged telling me? It must be telling me that a 3x3 etzba'os beged of tzemer upishtim can become tameh b'negayim. So says Gemara, ihachi shalosh al shalosh nami leisi b'Kal V'chomer. Even 3x3 etzba'os we should be able to derive from the same Kal V'chomer, that if just some strands of shiveirev are able to be metame, then 3x3 etzba'os of a woven beged should for sure be able to be metame. Ela shlosha al shlosha dechazu bein la'ashirim bein la'aniim asi b'kal v'chomer. Now, when it comes to a beged that's 3x3 tfachim, a beged that's 3x3 tfachim is useful no matter who you are. You can use it as a handkerchief no matter who you are, even if you're a wealthier person. So that we can learn from a kal v'chomer from shsi ve'erev. But shalosh al shalosh, if it's only 3x3 atzba'os, la'aniim u dechazian, only an ani would find some usage for that. La'ashirim lo chazyon, wealthier people would not find any usage for it, and they wouldn't even, they would just throw it out. It's a scrap of material that they would throw in the garbage. So lo asi b'kal v'chomer, we cannot learn that from a kal v'chomer from shsi ve'erev. And therefore I need another limud to tell me that if it's 3x3 etzba'os, that it's going to be mitame, because if you have something that's shiva erev, it's at least ra'ui to be used for something. You can put it away for something. But shalosh al shalosh etzba'os, if you're not an ani, you would have no use for it. So time at the kasve kra halo kasve kra lo garmin b'kal v'chomer. So that's why I need the extra viha beged in order to teach me 3x3 etzba'os, because it would not have been derived from the kal v'chomer. So at the end of the day, Tumas nige begadim, Tumas tzara'as on begadim, is only if it's tzemer or pishtan that is the size of 3x3 etzba'os. Any other beged does not have tumas negayim at all. It's simply not subject to tumas negayim, and that is muskam lechaladeus. Even Rava, who thinks that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and Tanna Dabei Rabbi Shmuel argue about the tumah of a beged that's 3x3 tfachim, that was only tumas maga. That's when it comes to tumah of touching a sheretz or something like that. But tumas negayim, that certainly does not apply to anything other than semer upishtim. In fact, that's one of the rayas that the Achronim bring in the discussion of tzitzis that we discussed before, whether tzitzis are chayiv, whether a beged that's not semer upishtim is chayiv in tzitzis on a daraisa level. One of the rayas that the Malbim brings is from the fact that the Mishnah Meseches Klayim in the 9th perek goes through a number of halachos that relate to dafka semer upishtim. So it says, "Ein asur mishum klayim ela tzemer upishtim, ve'eino mitamei b'negayim ela tzemer upishtim, eino kanim lov shun l'sham shveis ha-migdash ela tzemer upishtim." And it never mentions about tzitzis, that tzitzis only applies to tzemer upishtim. So that seems to be a raya that the din of tzitzis applies to other begadim as well. But one of the things that the Mishnah mentions explicitly is that tumas negayim is only by tzemer upishtim. So says Gemara ve'ema l'rabo shlosha al shlosha b'shar begadim. Maybe he's coming to tell me that other begadim that are 3x3 tefachim should also have tumas negayim. Maybe that's what the viha beged is coming to tell me. So amakra beged tzemer upishtim beged tzemer upishtim in midiachrin elog. Now the pasuk specifically identifies a beged of tzemer upishtim to tell me that that's the only kind of beged that is tamei b'negayim. So I ask the Gemara, ve'ema ki imut mishalosh al shalosh, aval shalosh al shalosh mitamei. But maybe v'ha beged is only telling me that other types of materials are not eligible to become tamei with a shear of shalosh al shalosh etzbaos. But maybe if they were larger, maybe if they were 3x3 tefachim, they could be included from v'ha beged. Meaning, why are we so sure that anything that's not tzemer upishtim is not subject to negayim? I grant you that tzemer upishtim are more negayim sensitive. I grant you that they're more likely to become tamei with tzara'as. But maybe that just means that when they're 3x3 etzbaos, they become tamei with tzara'as, whereas other begadim need to be larger in order to become tamei with tzara'as. So says Gemara, trei mi'ut iksivi. There's an extra mi'ut in the pasuk. Beged tzemer o bebeged pishtim. So chad l'mu'ute, one pasuk comes to be mima'et mi shalosh al shalosh, to tell me that something that's 3x3 etzbaos is not subject, if it's not made from tzemer upishtim, it's not subject to tumas negayim, v'chad l'mutei mishlosha al shlosha. And the other miut comes to tell me that even if it's 3x3 tfachim, if it's not made out of tzemer upishtim, it's not subject to tumas negayim. So you have to say that we cannot learn from the extra letters v'ha vav hey v'ha beged that tumas negayim applies to other begadim. The yisur is there only to tell me that tzemer upishtim can become tamei with a fabric that's as tiny as 3x3 etzbaos, and from the Kal v'chomer, if Shi ve'erev, we wouldn't be able to derive that. We would only be able to derive about 3x3 tfachim. So at the end of the day, only a beggar of tzemer upishtim is subject to negayim. Okay, Bez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Uli Rava da'amar, four lines from the bottom of the page. Have a wonderful day, everybody.